KALW.
It was a huge mix of emotions. It was people that were clapping, cheering. It was people that was crying.
The Geneva Towers were a public housing project in San Francisco that was demolished in 1998.
We invited the residents to a community meeting, and we presented the two options: fixing it up or tearing it down.
Today we'll learn about San Francisco's complicated history with high-rise public housing. Then we hear why an illustrator reimagines queer icons as superheroes.
I love drawing hair flowing in the wind. Who can I draw? It's the Queens.
And we hear from a senior working to give back to the city she loves.
You should show your children that you are still a useful human being and that you have something left to give.
That's coming up. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Today, we're going to start with a story from our project, Hey Area, where you ask questions and our reporters find the answers. America has a complicated history with high-rise public housing. And you may know that San Francisco is among the American cities that has experimented with these high-rise, low-income developments. Today, in a new installment from our series, Hey Area, we'll look at one project, the Geneva Towers. A listener asked us, why were the Geneva Towers demolished? KALW's DeAndre Ball investigates.
It's a sunny Saturday morning, and I'm in the Visitation Valley community in San Francisco. I'm joined by San Francisco educator Claire McDaniel. We are at Kellogg and Velasco Mini Park. Kids are playing basketball, and seniors are doing their morning exercises. Close by are two low-income housing developments and a senior living community. However, at this very location in 1976, this park wasn't here, and neither were these housing developments. Instead, there were two 20-story high-rise apartment buildings comprised of 576 units. They were called the Geneva Towers. And in 1976, Claire McDaniel was a single mother moving into her first apartment with her two-year-old son.
Lots of memories, and what I see, what I'm seeing now versus what was here a long time ago is just, you can't believe it used to be two buildings 20 stories high that used to stand here, and what is now pretty park and, you know, grass. So, but I do have some fond memories, some good ones and some not so good ones of the Geneva Towers.
Claire is a San Francisco native. When she finished her degree program at San Francisco City College, she heard about Geneva Towers from a friend and was eager to move to the towers so she and her son could have a place of their own.
And when I first moved there, I loved it. You know, I was in a two-bedroom. It was great in the beginning. I loved it.
To understand why the Geneva Towers were demolished, you first need to know why they were built. In 1964, influential real estate developer Joe Eckler had a vision of providing housing for middle-income airport workers on the outskirts of San Francisco. The towers were unable to attract the airport workers, so in 1976, in an effort to fill empty units, federal Section 8 housing assistance was granted, making the towers essentially 100% low income. Keith Axtell served as the West Coast Regional Director for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development from 1984 to 1999. He played a major role in determining the fate of the towers. During an interview, he spoke about the challenges in maintaining them and ultimately about the decision to demolish them.
It was not built as assisted housing. It was not built for poor people. It was built for middle and upper class economic levels, but it was not successful in completing the rent up.
During Keith Axtell's tenure, Geneva Towers would become the first HUD property to be foreclosed on due to poor living conditions. He said the issues at the tower came up in a routine audit.
At that point, it came to our attention because I asked our field offices to conduct a survey of all their 10,000 apartment buildings. We identified 17 properties in our four states areas that were not satisfactory, and Geneva Towers was one of them.
So what did that mean for the towers? Again, Keith Axtell.
We had no immediate grounds for foreclosure. However, they did not invest the funds needed to maintain the property properly. So elevators continued breaking down in this high-rise building. People were having to walk. Many other physical deficiencies, health issues. So we finally made a case through physical examinations we did and went to court and were able to get probably one of the first in the nation foreclosures based on poor physical conditions rather than a mortgage default.
In 1991, HUD took over Geneva Towers due to poor living conditions. What was life like for residents then? I spoke with local music executive, DEO, about his journey to the towers, which began in 1989 after the Loma Prieta earthquake, when he and his family moved there.
The conditions weren't good at all, honestly. Obviously, this is the 90s, so we're smack dab in the crack epidemic.
While DEO says there were some challenges with living in Geneva Towers, he adds that growing up there helped lay the foundation for his career.
I caught the bug of becoming a musician because there were talent shows. We used to put on plays, we wrote plays, we performed plays.
In 1993, former mayor of San Francisco, Art Agnos, who had been appointed as HUD's regional director, was faced with a difficult decision to approve a plan for remodeling Geneva Towers.
How do we fix this place up now that we own it and without getting in trouble? And so they were planning on remodeling this building without looking at it to say, is this the best option?
Agnos said renovating Geneva Towers would have been very expensive. But before making the decision to renovate or demolish and start anew, HUD invited input from the residents. A group of residents, the Geneva Towers Development Corporation, was formed to work with HUD to determine the fate of the complex. Ultimately, they decided the building should be torn down. On May 16, 1998, the Geneva Towers were demolished. DEO was present to witness the demolition of Geneva Towers, his childhood home.
It was a huge mix of emotions. It was people that were clapping, cheering. It was people that was crying.
24 years after the Geneva Towers fell, I asked some of the people who lived there how they felt about the decision to tear them down. For DEO, the Geneva Towers weren't so much about the buildings, but about the people who lived in them.
We produced a lot of good people, good community members, people who are from the city. They know what it meant to be from the towers, and they know what it meant to claim it, you know? Like, it was a lot of pride that came with it on all spectrums.
While the high-rise towers are now gone, some residents still get together once a year during 4th of July weekend for an annual Geneva Towers reunion. And hip-hop artists like Remedy, who had roots in Geneva Towers, pays homage to his former home through music. In Visitation Valley, I'm DeAndre Ball, KALW News.
The youngest in it, but the man of the house. I remember doing bad, bro, bad was the couch. In high school, I'm rolling around with a handful of doubts, thinking there's no way I'm making it out.
DeAndre is a fellow in our Audio Academy training program, and that story is part of our collaborative reporting project, Hey Area. You can find more stories like it and ask your own question at kalw.org/heyarea. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. If I ask you to think of a superhero, who comes to mind? Superman? Maybe Batman? Wonder Woman? What about a drag queen? Queer illustrator Shane Gallardi draws drag queens and LGBTQ icons and reimagines them as modern-day queeros. They're given superpowers inspired by lip-sync moments and runway outfits. His pop art covers have even caught the attention of celebrities like Ariana Grande and MJ Rodriguez. The Hawaiian-born artist now lives in San Francisco. KALW's Janae Darden spoke with Shane.
Who are your favorite superheroes?
My favorite superheroes are actually super villains. I prefer the baddies more. They're just more interesting. I love a good Poison Ivy. I love a good Harley Quinn. I just love the fierce women. But, you know, even like the males, the cisgender males are so exciting too. Like, I love a good Riddler, Joker, Mr. Freeze. A lot of DC villains. I mean, I love Marvel, but DC villains are just, the rogues gallery is just amazing. It's like chef's kiss of villains there. So yeah, I'm that type of person.
You know, there is a beauty to them though, you know, and the uniqueness in the imagery with those villains. Like, I love Harley Quinn. I was showing you my Harley Quinn picture. Yeah, there is a uniqueness in more interest in them than being like the straight lace goody. I mean, you know, superheroes can be complex, but yeah.
I think, you know, and it's been an ongoing discussion, you know, I think it's because as queer people, you know, I could relate to a villain more than I can to a princess that was, you know, oh, given the love of her life and things like that. Like, I felt like an outcast, and, you know, yeah, you know, if I had these powers, I would definitely do something with it, you know?
Speaking of, okay, let's go from superheroes to queeros, who are also our superheroes, to, I love that you reimagine drag queens and just queer icons as modern day heroes, queeros, sheroes. What made you decide to do that? I love it. I just love it.
Right. It's just, this is going to be my legacy to leave onto the world. It just happened so naturally to me. Like, I love combining genres. Like, I love filmmakers that combine genres too. So for me, it made sense to draw. Well, first it started off me drawing regular, you know, moms, dads, uncles as superheroes. And then I was all like, wait a minute, who else do I love really drawing? And I realized that I love drawing the female heroes, like, just the way I love drawing hair flowing in the wind and capelets flowing in the wind. I love a good cape action and stuff like that. So, you know, drawing someone like Storm, oh my God, I love drawing all those elements. So I was like, well, who can I draw that has those things? And it's the queens. The queens have amazing hair and then have amazing outfits and things like that. And then that kind of expanded to drawing queer icons, you know, like someone like Laverne Cox is amazing to draw, you know, or even like queer icons of history, like Frida Kahlo, like mm-hmm. She is a masterpiece in herself. Like, she is visually stunning, you know? So then just opened up a whole new world. And I love challenging myself to, you know, like drawing like modern queer people, like Elliot Page. Like, I'm like, how can I imagine him as, you know, someone that's like super? So I love challenges like that. Like, how can I take someone that, you know, pretty much just wears like a suit and tie and make them super?
And I'm thinking back to what you said about supervillains and you know, you identifying supervillains as a gay man. And I'm thinking too of these people that you draw, like Elliot Page, and just having the courage to live as yourself in a society that discourages that. That takes super strength and superpowers to me. Is that another reason why too, that you draw these iconic people as queeros?
Yeah, definitely. To live authentically as a queer person in this day and age, it's still hard. Even though we have a lot of more visibility and people that are out there doing the things that we want to do, there's still so much work to be done. And there's still so many parts of the world, you know, everyone just kind of like thinks about, oh, we've got the queer icons on TV, so it's fine, right? It's no, there's still people in the world that are still fighting, that are, you know, like Japan just recently had their first, like, you know, gay pride parade and stuff like that. Like, there's so many parts of the world and so many people in the world that are not able to be themselves. And look at what's happening in the United States with the Don't Say Gay bill and stuff like that. Like, even in our own home country, people are still not able to express themselves. And so that's why it's important for me to use my visibility and my skill to kind of give people that strength that they wish they could summon within themselves. You know, I believe in the power of manifestation, you know. So if you say, I am going to do this, or if you see a picture of yourself doing this, maybe that'll make you believe wholeheartedly that you can.
What are you most proud of as an artist that you've accomplished?
What I am most proud of as an artist is just being able to do what I love, which is drawing, and also merge it with who I am, which is a queer artist. Like, you know, to be able to do both authentically and share it with the world. You know, I grew up as like a closeted person. Like, I didn't come out until I was in college, you know, and having to suppress that was really, really challenging. And having no one to like look towards for inspiration. And so I had to find my own voice, make my own voice. And so being able to do that now, you know, and seeing how warmly people embrace it, that means so much to me. Like, that is the thing that I'm most proud of. Like, being out queer and being able to do that work with corporations that support the queer community, you know, that's great, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, making art is great, but being paid to make art is even better.
That was queer illustrator Shane Gallardi speaking with KALW's Janae Darden. That interview was produced with help from Porfirio Rangel. You can hear the full conversation, and we've got a link to his artwork at KALW.org. And for those headed to Southern California this weekend, he'll also be appearing at RuPaul's DragCon. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. May is Older Americans Month, and we're celebrating with a series that profiles San Franciscans who are 80 and older. It's 80 over 80 San Francisco.
A lot of things have changed. A lot of things have not.
My time is short now. I can't be bothered with people I don't like.
Margaret Graff founded San Francisco Senior Power in the Outer Sunset to give older adults more tools to empower themselves. From personal experience, she knows that older adults don't always have the support or resources to care for their own emotional and physical needs. And her organization tries to fill some of those gaps through events, education, and community.
Hi, I'm Margaret, and I'm a senior. There's so many people who don't want to admit that they're a senior, no matter how far into seniorhood they are. But they it's viewed as not an attractive place to be. It's viewed in a negative space. Instead of, I've made it, and I'm glad I'm here, and I want to keep aging. Somehow society has a negative impression that it's a bad thing to grow old. And the alternative really isn't better. You get discounts and all kinds of things. You know, you get freebies and all kinds of things. There is a good part to aging. I guess if I had to pick one favorite memory, it would be driving into San Francisco for the first time. And thinking, oh, wow, I died and went to heaven. San Francisco was exotic for me. It was stimulating, and it seemed like there were no limits on anything. You have to remember, I arrived here in the 60s, and a Volkswagen bus. I was a hippie. So, you know, love was essential. It was like a foreign country, and I never, ever wanted to leave it. I started Senior Power a year ago in September, after having spoken with my local supervisor, my district supervisor, because I felt that, and there was nothing like it in our area. So, and then I started to get a little angry about it. And I thought, well, you know, if nobody else will do it, what the heck, I will. Housing, transportation, isolation, medical care, of course, goes hand in hand. The older you get, the more problems you got. You know, let's face them. And it's a hard society because my age group is growing up. When we were young, and by young, you know, 20s, 30s, a great deal of emphasis was placed on how we looked physically. And if you look good, you are good. You're wonderful. You're good. You're attractive. Everybody loves you. If you didn't meet that criteria, then you were bad. That was the thinking at that particular time. And that's how my generation grew up. So now when they see themselves, when they look in the mirror, we don't look so good anymore, you know. But the hair is getting gray, we got wrinkles on our face. It's hard for them. It's really, really hard. Women in my generation, that's how we were expected to behave. And some of them can't get past that. I would hope that, and this is for my daughters, and that's the best way I can say it, I would hope that however their appearance was, that was not the first thing that people saw. Your kids will be what they see you are. I feel you should show your children that you are still a useful human being and that you have something left to give, that you always have something to give. To teach, to give. And so my whole Senior Power thing, it's giving back to the community. San Francisco has been so good to me. It really has. I love the city to death. It has been so good to me. So I feel I need to give back to the city. I feel I need to volunteer, and I do mean that word, my time, talent, somewhere, hence Senior Power. Life isn't over when you retire. It's just moving into a new phase, and it'll be what you make it. And it's time to give back to the humanity. It's time to give back to the community. You owe it.
That was Margaret Graff. She was interviewed for the 80 Over 80 San Francisco Project. The lead audio producer for the project is Aussie Linus Goodman. Anna Chodos is the project director. And you can hear more profiles at kalw.org. And here's some local music before we leave you. This is Jazz Mafia, and they'll be playing in San Francisco's Brick and Mortar Music Hall this Friday. Today's Cross Currents team includes DeAndre Ball, Ryan Housel, Gabe Graben, Victor Tense, Shireen Adil, Lisa Morehouse, Shia Levitt, Sunni Khalid, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.